Blog Talk Radio.
Opportunity to get called in for a camp opportunity. That's what an undrafted free agent is. all these guys that were not on the draft board, they kind of like flew up under the radar, didn't get a junior day, didn't get a pro day. Your management or your agent or your coaches couldn't get you on the draft board or considered for an NFL camp invite. You are a street free agent, meaning that, you know, basically your college career is over with. You're at home waiting on the next opportunity to play somewhere, whether that be outdoor 11-man semi-pro, that'll work, film is film, whether that be indoor arena-style football, that'll work, film is film, and you take all that film in either-or situation, whether it be outdoor 11-man football or indoor pro-developmental football, indoor arena-style, take all your film, put it together on one reel, get it to somebody like myself so we can get it out to some different type of people that deal with the XFL, the USFL was just wrapped up. XFL 2023 is coming up. Your goal should be trying to get into right now the XFL, and then when the USFL comes back next year, your goal should be trying to get into that league. You want to get into any kind of league with a television partner. As far as arena indoor go, the highest level of that is going to be fan-controlled football. Fan-controlled football will put you in a position to where you're basically going to be able to, get out and be with a TV partner. Fan Control Football, they have a big online presence with companies called with partners like DAZN or the Zone, whatever you call it. They're on Twitch and all kind of different online platforms across the globe. Fan Control Football also has a TV partner at NBC on the NBC platforms, NBCLX. And so they, you know, I could sit back this year and actually watch three of my rookie players playing in the Fan Control Football League. I could watch them on Twitch online, or I could watch them right on TV on NBCLX. Plus, they also partner with Spectrum, Fubo TV, stuff like that. So, I mean, there's so many platforms out there that, you know, with these leagues that have television partners, but I would suggest you get with a league that has a TV partner. If you can't get a league with a TV partner, you want to go somewhere like the Indoor Football League or the National Arena League. Those are right below Fan Control Football. They don't have a national TV partner, but they do have a local TV partner in their local markets. For instance, the team in San Diego, where I'm broadcasting from right now, we have the San Diego Strike Force of the IFL. They've been officially eliminated from playoff contention. But, however, they did have a local TV partner here. I could watch their games on Fox 5 in San Diego. They had a TV budget, you know, for at least about six games or so, six, seven games this year. I was able to catch a couple of their TV, their football games locally. But you definitely want to get with a team that has at least a local TV partner, again, like the IFL, the NAL, and then people that have a national TV partner like Fan Control Football, USFL, who was with NBC and Fox, and also the XFL, who's probably going to be with NBC and Fox as well. So with that being said, again, you know, travel budget and performance fees for rookie street free agents. Today's episode will teach rookie street free agents how to budget their finances for travel, to workouts, and to pay for tryout fees. This episode will give insight on employment to secure finances to be a professional street free agent. For those of you tuning in again, this is Stogies and Beer. I'm your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Stogies and Beer can be, you can listen to Stogies and Beer Monday through Thursdays, most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time, and there will be East Coast time will be 11 a.m. to 1, 11 a.m. to 1, 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. on East Coast time. Sorry about the background noise. For some reason, in California, you always got a lot of doggone sirens, police sirens, and ambulances all over the place, and I don't even stay in the bad part of town, but there's always something going on. There's always something going on out here. But with that being said, my apologies if you hear any background noise. It looks like it's just a lot of emergencies in my neighborhood today. I got the windows closed and everything like that, and you still hear all this noise. But my apologies if you hear that bleeding through my windows. Just a lot of loud sirens, and I'm right by a busy street. Anyway, hopefully everybody can hear me pretty good today. I'm trying something different. A good friend of mine told me that Blog Talk Radio works better when you use your phone. So I'm on an Apple iPhone. My iPhone is kind of dated, so hopefully the microphone, the pickup pattern is pretty good. I got my speaker on. I see that I'm broadcasting live on air. If anybody out there that's listening to the show could do me a favor and call in to the guest call-in line, just let me know as a favor that I'm coming across the airways pretty good. Guest call-in line is 515-602-9687. All right, it's 8:10 a.m. Let me get up into a little bit of my topic here. Again, travel budget and performance fees for rookie street free agents. Before I get into that, I want to just say a couple things. I'm looking at my monitor, and we got the home run derby for Major League Baseball is tonight. We can talk about that. Call in, let me know who your favorites are. At the same time, we had the Major League Baseball draft last night. I caught a good bit of it. I didn't get to see who the Padres because I kind of like got distracted from watching it, but I did watch a good bit of it, and it was a lot of. I did see that Toronto got a left-handed pitcher, a high school kid, left-handed pitcher out of high school. That's what I like about Major League Baseball. They'll draft a kid out of high school and put him on a farm team. I really like that about Major League Baseball. With that being said, going back into our topic, travel budget and performance fees for rookie street free agents. I wanted to bring to light this topic because a lot of these rookie street free agents, meaning guys that just graduated college, played their last eligibility game for college, meaning that they can't play college football anymore. They don't have any more years where they don't have a COVID-19 year or a red shirt year, or at least another eligibility where they can drop down a level and play one more year of eligibility, that fifth-year option. They don't have that anymore, so they are officially done playing college sports. So if you didn't get drafted or didn't have the opportunity to get drafted, you're considered a street free agent. When you become a street free agent, there's still opportunities for you to play professional sports. All is not lost because in baseball, they got pro-developmental leagues. Basketball, they got pro-developmental leagues. And, of course, football, they have pro-developmental leagues. Whether it be semi-pro, whether it be indoor arena, you still have an opportunity to get on a roster and still show that you can play football. So what I try to do is I try to tell everybody, these opportunities you have to take. And, again, due to my technical setup, I'm trying to make sure that I'm broadcasting on air. So it looks like everything is set up okay, but if you could call into the show and just let me know if you can hear me or if you know my personal telephone number, give me a call and let me know that you can hear me clearly on air. Just give me a text. Don't call me. Just text me. With that being said, again, what I'm doing is basically trying to talk about travel budget and performance fees for rookie street free agents. And the biggest thing that I want people to understand is that all is not lost, athletes, when you go undrafted. All is not lost when you go undrafted. Look like I just found the source of the noise coming from outside. I just secured that crack in my window. The window's directly behind me. I apologize about that if you heard all the sirens and the commotion going on from the police and the ambulance. But hopefully everything's okay out there. But, again, all is not lost. As an athlete that goes undrafted, you have options to keep playing ball at some level and keep attaining film and find someone that you can give your film to, like myself, that can put that film on the right desk to get you your next opportunity. What I've been dealing with here recently is that a lot of players, they complain to me about having to pay a fee to do a tryout. Well, I don't want to pay a workout fee. I don't want to pay the workout fee. You know, why I got to pay $100 to go do a workout? You know, why I got to pay $400 to do a workout? Or why I got to pay, $700 to do a workout? And some of these things cost that much depending on how sanctioned they are by the NFL. Like I got a company that I use called Hub. It's very hard to get into Hub Camp. You can find Hub at H-U-B, at capital H-U-B on Twitter. And that's ran by Tom Brady's agent, Don Yee. I have a connection there, my good friend. that's helped a lot of my players, Tom Goodhines. They have to vet you to go to that camp. So it's not an easy situation to get into the Hub camp. However, a lot of guys, you know, they don't understand. They don't understand that, you know, you have to pay a fee to get in there. You'll get vetted. You can, you know, use my name to vouch for you, and usually that works. Sometimes it don't. It's because it's still talent. You still have to have talent. You can use my name, and if you have talent, you might get first consideration. But if you can also use my name but don't have the talent that they're looking for, and it may take you a couple cracks at it to get selected, and some people still don't get selected. It's just a matter of what they're looking for at that time. And then some of these positions they have are oversaturated. Like if you're a defensive back, you really got to be damn good because you can find a defensive back anywhere. If you're a slot wide receiver, you got to be damn good because you can usually find a slot receiver anywhere. So, you know, really positions that really stick out to them that it, and you have to still be good is like offensive lineman, a quarterback. You know, they look for those players because, you know, they're harder to find. And at the same time, you know, you really have to be good to get in there, even at those positions. So, a lot of these things I'm trying to say is that it's a lot of camps that are actually sanctioned by NFL, and the NFL put their stamp of approval on them for their scouts to come and attend. Hub is one of them. And Hub is a well-known camp, and a lot of people have a hard time getting in it for the simple reason that they are sanctioned by the NFL, and they want the best product to put on the field if the scouts from the National Football League and the Canadian Football League, XFL, USFL, they're going to be looking off into that live stream at these workouts, you got to be good. But at the same time, it's expensive. It's like about $700 for a basic fee, $750, $1,350 for an exclusive package that includes a write-up from NFL Draft Bible and Sports Illustrated. And they do your interviews, they do your scouting report. They put together you a nice package to send out to somebody like myself when you're done to keep shopping it around to get your opportunities. The guys do get opportunities. One of my guys is in minor league football right now. We look like they're going to go ahead and launch this year. I'm happy for those guys because I know they've been trying to launch a couple seasons ago. But look like they're launching. They got the camp going on. Everybody's in the hotel. Everybody's getting their gear. Look like they're going to play these five games, which I think is a good start for them, four teams, five games. So we'll see how my guys turn out. I got two guys there right now. Shout out to Shahan Williams, defensive end out of Notre Dame College. I think he had about 22 sacks at the Division II level. That's a lot at that level. And then I got my man Terrence Ames Jr. He's out there as well, and he's on the offensive line. So wishing those guys good luck out there in minor league football. They both left out of the National Arena League here recently to go and do that in minor league football. Left out of National Arena League, Carolina Cobras. They made a decision to go ahead and get back outdoors, get some outdoor film. So those two guys will have indoor and outdoor film. Terrence Ames Jr. is a rookie this year, rookie offensive lineman. So just for the simple fact that he's going to have a chance to get have indoor and outdoor film to shop up for the XFL, that's a good thing. And I got some people working with him on the XFL opportunity. He was asking me about an XFL opportunity going to the draft pool, and I had told him I was already working on it. So usually a lot of time my guys, they'll be thinking about what can I do to get on this and on that, but I'm already working on it. So he asked me about being in the XFL draft pool. I had to tell him that I'm already working on it. So he didn't have to worry about none of that. He can just go play this minor league football situation, get that outdoor film, and then come on back, hopefully going on into the XFL for the draft pool. But with that being said, this is Stogies and Beer. For those of you just tuning in, Stogies and Beer is broadcasted live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking with you live in the early morning. Look like we got a caller on deck here. Looks like this might be my man DC calling in to talk a little bit about the situation with LeBron James at the Drew League, dropping 40 points on them in this summer league type of situation. It's the Drew League up in L.A. Drew League is like the Rucker Park of Los Angeles. Drew League is what Rucker Park is to New York, but it's in L.A. So at the same time, we're going to talk a little bit about the New York Knicks. Summer League team failing to secure a championship against my Portland Trail Blazers. I'm a longtime Portland Trail Blazers fan from back in the day when we had Kevin Duckworth and Clyde Drexler, Buck Williams, Terry Porter, you know, the crew. But I was happy to see that the Knicks, you know, they didn't beat Portland. You know, I'm glad to see the Knicks made it to the chip championship, but I'm like, I don't understand why they couldn't get a ring. With that being said, I'm going to go to the call lines. My man, DC, looks like he's waiting in queue. We'll talk a little bit about some Major League Baseball All-Star Game, Major League Baseball draft stuff, the headlines, you know, Russell Westbrook being put out there as trade bait, possibly going to the San Antonio Spurs, look like, trying to figure out why Kyrie Irving didn't show up to the Drew League game to play with LeBron James. He's a no-show again. I don't know what's going on with Kyrie. But he got enough money. He can do what the hell he want to do. But anyway, let's go to the lines. DC, I'm coming to you, man. I'm going to let you introduce yourself and what it is that you do with your business and stuff. I like to always give you a plug on your business and let people know how they can find you and all that good stuff. So give your intro, and then we'll get off into this sports stuff. DC, I'm coming to you now. Click your mic.
First of all, I appreciate that. Yeah, I am an agent with World Financial Group, and World Financial Group is in place to help people reach their financial dreams and goals. And they also have an opportunity where you can learn how to teach others to be financially independent. And you have to, at a minimum, get a license in your state as a life insurance and annuities agent. So at a bare minimum, we have people in our company that have the securities license, so they are investment advisors, stockbrokers. So you can go all through that, the whole financial services industry with our company. And so I appreciate that. But yes, I heard you when I logged in. I heard you talking about your agents and your candidates. You know, I say it all the time. A lot of folks want something for nothing. They think that they're gonna hire you for free. They're supposed to hire you for free, and you're supposed to take them to the promised land while they sit up and eat potato chips and play video games all day and just expect for you to call them with you've been signed by the Raiders for $5 million. And that's just not going to happen because they're not putting in the work. Anyone that's trying to put in the work to get anywhere will know the services that you provide. And that you name drop, but to me, you ain't have to because you got more connections than that. So I'm not even worried about that. So that's number one. Number two, LeBron, I saw his points. But you know what stuck out to me the most is LeBron taking over the jersey, the Drew League jersey they put LeBron in. It had an Adidas logo on the chest. And LeBron taped over the logo. I thought that was telling, right? Because doesn't he have a deal with Nike or somebody, right?
Yeah, he got a lifetime deal with Nike, so he had to tape that up, just like how Michael Jordan had to cover it up when he was in the Olympics. He had to cover that up. You know, people see a lot of these guys understand sponsorship and endorsement deals. You can't wear that stuff.
Yeah. So I bring that up because, you know, I read Forbes. I read the Wall Street Journal every day, but I also read Forbes. I got a subscription to Forbes' website. And Forbes listed LeBron as one of the newest billionaires. And he's only like one of 15 African-American billionaires in the world. But the funny part about that is LeBron, a lot of his fortune, a lot of people don't understand, wasn't just on the basketball court. LeBron makes, like you said, he makes money with his deal from Nike, right? So in order to honor his deal, that was probably a $40 million take job. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
That's probably a $40 million take job. Because if he was there seen with Adidas on his chest, you know, he could have been taken to court and lost money, right? So that's kudos to his agent.
I think Rich Paul is his agent. That's kudos to him to identify that in this, because you know when you playing ball, man, it's like you can't see everything. You know, you just have to try to hoop. Like as Kevin Durant say, I'm just here to hoop. And you know, little stuff like that, man. Hey, man, you sporting somebody else's logo, you got to take that off, or they're gonna find you or whatever. They're gonna, you know, you're gonna get dropped from Nike doing something like that. So it's good that the agent had a good eye to say take that up. But since we own the Lakers, real quick, what do you think about this deal with Russell Westbrook splitting with his longtime agent? I don't know who his agent was, but that he split with him. And I'm thinking that based on what the monitor is saying, that he split because he got this big, huge contract and a lot of money owed on this current contract with the Lakers. And I guess the agent was like, what the hell are you doing asking for a trade when all you got to do is go ahead and play and we get this money? So what do you think about the agent looking out for his pocket, looking out for his 4% of that $4 million, however many million, $40 million or whatever, versus Russell Westbrook saying, I'm the hell out of here? What say you on that?
So I got to tell you this quick story. So I am on Twitter, and there was this guy on Twitter who was talking about Russell Westbrook. And Russell Westbrook responded, you wouldn't say that to my face, right? And so I tweeted Russell Westbrook and was like, yo, maybe if you go work on your jumper, this ain't even a conversation. And so why do I tell that quick story? Is because that's exactly what's happening here. Russell Westbrook fired his agent because his agent's trying to look out for his best interest, but his problem is his ego is in the way, right? And it goes back to these unrestricted undrafted free agents that's trying to get in the NFL that you're working with. A lot of these guys' ego is in the way, right? They need a reality check, and that's what Russell Westbrook needs. He needs a reality check. And so I do believe that the Lakers are going to trade him. You know, and when I remember when Jeannie Buss made that comment about how great of a Laker Kobe was, that I saw that being an indictment towards LeBron. You know, I saw that being an indictment towards LeBron because if LeBron, if you are the leader of the NBA, right, so much so where people are calling you out about Brittany Griner, right? You're the leader of the NBA. You're clearly the billionaire, so you're the richest NBA player, right? You just went over $1 billion, right? So here you are. You've got – so there's responsibilities with that. And so with that, this guy's on your team. And this guy's publicly coming out saying he's better than you? I mean, are you serious? Are you serious? Russell Westbrook, better than LeBron? Are you serious? LeBron with a pulled hamstring is better than a healthy Russell Westbrook, okay? Russell Westbrook's whole game is his athleticism. It's never been his jump shot. It's never been, you know, does he attack the rim? Sure, he does. But it's his athleticism. He's just an incredible athlete, right? He doesn't have great handles for a point guard.
I'm going to say this here, not to hold that thought, but I'm going to chime in here for 1 second. And I'm going to use a boxing analogy. Remember back in the day, we would all sit around, drink, you know, smoking stogies, drinking beers, watching Roy Jones Jr. Roy Jones Jr. was like the most gifted athlete and still is considered the most gifted athlete, most gifted boxer of all time, the most gifted fighter of all time. But even he got to a point to where he started getting knocked out. He got knocked out by Tarver. He got knocked out by Glenn Kauf Johnson. He got knocked out by some other bum, which I thought was a quick stoppage. But just even be in that position that you'd be getting knocked out. They saw saying he started, his skills started to diminish a little bit. I kind of look at Russell Westbrook the same way. I mean, explosive guy. He's just one of them guys, he's going through the hole like an AI. You know, not necessarily a great jump shooter type of guy. I can't remember really if Allen Iverson had a good jumper, but I do know that AI was known for taking it to the hole. He going to the rack. And that's what Russell Westbrook has been known for. But I guess, as they say, Father Time, you know, is undefeated. You know, no matter what you do, how much you try to stay in shape, you just lose a little bit. But go ahead, back to your point.
Now, I love the analogy to Bernard Hopkins, to Roy Jones, because when I think of that, I think of his fights against the executioner Bernard Hopkins, right? Because Bernard Hopkins got him, right? Because, like you said, athleticism versus boxing skill, right? Roy Jones, you're right, was the best boxing athlete, but technically and fundamentally sound, he was no Bernard the executioner. Right, and Bernard the executioner got him. Right, he got him.
Yeah, the second time they fought. The second time they fought.
He got him. But he got him. Right, and it was undisputed that he won that fight. Right, he did not Roy out. Now I give you that. He ain't not Roy out, but he did get him. Right, and so
he
beat him down.
Disqualification. It ended on disqualification. From both fighters hitting below the belt multiple times, so it went like, I guess, 8 or 9 rounds. Some of the wind up ending, you know.
But Bernard put the wood to him, right? The executioner put the wood to him, right? So that's why I got ugly, because the executioner put the wood to him. So I hear what you're saying, but you're right. So awesome analogy, but you're right. Russell Westbrook needs to elevate his game. He needs to adjust. You know, even Jordan did it. Remember, Michael Jordan was the 2 when he was with Chicago, but when he went to the Wizards, he shifted over to a small forward position, right? He shifted to the 3 because Father Time's undefeated. So, you know, you're going to have to make adjustments to your game, right?
The thing I don't like about it is this, though. When these guys, you know, these guys come into the league, And they come in, and they're these great athletes coming out of college. Athletic, they jumping out the gym, they taking it to the rack. And it's just like, but when they come down, when they start getting older, they don't have a jump shot. I'm talking about like a 20-footer. They don't have a jump shot. And it's like, how the hell are you in the league and you don't have a jumper? I don't get it. It's like, what the hell are we doing?
Yep. So there's a quote by Kobe, and honestly, the more I read about Kobe, the more I look into Kobe, the more respect I have. I never not respected Kobe. I always respected his game. But the more I hear about Kobe, the more I'm like, man, dude actually was the truth, okay? And so what I'm saying is this. Kobe had a quote one time where he said, people used to get mad at me because I never passed him the ball. He was like, but when I noticed that in the gym, they leave and go do all this Mickey Mouse stuff, and I stay and work. So he was like, why should I pass you the ball when I know you ain't worked as hard as I did? And that means I'm most likely going to hit the shot. Probably going to hit the shot over you because I've been taking more of these shots in practice than you have. So why should I pass you the ball? Right? You're not putting in as much work as I am.
He's going with his best option.
Exactly. Right? And so that's exactly what his attitude. And so when you hear him from that perspective, it's like, yeah. Like I remember his last game, right? When everybody was passing him the ball and they interviewed him afterwards and they was like, Kobe, you know, how does it feel when all your teammates are just feeding you the ball? He said, I thought it was funny because my whole career, people said I don't pass the ball enough, and now everybody passing me the ball, right? So, but again, I think you're spot on. Russell Westbrook is on a downside of his career, and he needs to check his ego and understand that I need to make some decisions. But Jeannie Buss is not going to let him do that there, she is going to send him somewhere else. And I think her comment about Kobe being the greatest Laker ever wasn't a knock to Magic. It was more of a knock to LeBron, because her attitude is LeBron's a teammate of Russell Westbrook, and he's not checking his teammate, you know. But LeBron clearly has other interests.
Well, let me segue here to the Knicks and this chip y'all lost yesterday. Why y'all couldn't secure the summer league championship, a summer league ring? That championship could have did wonders for y'all going into the season. And on top of that, how do y'all look for the in season tournament? I believe this year they're doing an in season tournament just to keep things kind of like interesting. Do you see y'all being able to secure that if they're actually doing that this year? What say you?
All right, so your first question, my hat's off to the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're right, you are a longtime Trail Blazers fan. When you said that in the opening, I laughed, but I realized that it's true. You are a longtime Trail Blazers fan, so my congratulations to you for your team winning their second Summer League championship, because they made it clear yesterday in the broadcast that y'all had won it a couple of years prior. So congratulations to you. However, I will say this. I thought it was great for what the Knicks wanted to do coming into the Summer League. They wanted to focus on defense. They wanted to evaluate players based on their system. And they wanted to get three players who were in and out of the lineup for minutes during the regular season. They wanted to give them a strong run to make some evaluations on their talent. And they did that. That was Grimes, McBride, and Sims. So those three players carried the team to the Summer League Championship. And I thought McBride went ghost offensively. And I think that's now the hole in his game. We see that he has a hole offensively. And then I think with McBride, and I think with Grimes, I think the issue is he's a streaky jump shooter, and I think you saw that in the game, because Grimes finished as a leading scorer, but he didn't have a good shooting night. And then, of course, Sims showed his athleticism in the paint. He made some flashy dunks and on some pick and rolls and things of that nature, and his defensive ability. So I think that the Knicks saw what they needed. They evaluated their talent. The kid out of Duke, Keels, that they have starting at the small forward. I think they get to see where he's at. He's definitely a G League player. I don't see him coming up to the regular season to the team. So I think they did a great job. They wanted to use this to evaluate talent, which is what the purpose of the Summer League is. You notice the Magic, Orlando, they sat down their star player, right? The number one kid they drafted, he played one game, and they sat him down. That's right. They sat him down, right? Why? Because Summer League's about evaluating talent and seeing where everybody's at, and they saw enough, right? They didn't need the rest of this kid getting injured, because he's going to get a lot of minutes in the preseason as well as the regular season. So I'm pretty excited about it.
I hate that philosophy, what you just said. We're going to sit – I understand it, but I hate it because it's like you can get hurt in the first game of the season. I hate it in football when they say, okay, we're going to sit this guy down and we're not going to play this guy, you know, because we don't want him to get hurt in the preseason. You can get hurt in the first game. What difference does it make?
That's right. Remember Julius Randle, drafted by the Lakers. His very first game, broke his leg, right? Was in the game like two
minutes. So what are we talking about?
His leg. Yeah, right? And the season was over. So you're 100% correct. Matter of fact, Portland's got a guy. You guys drafted a guy who hurt his arm, hurt his shoulder in the early Summer League game. I believe it was Portland. It was either you or Houston. You drafted a player. I think it was Houston. Yeah, Houston drafted a rookie this year that as soon as he got out there, hurt himself in the Summer League. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. But, you know, I thought it was good talent evaluation. I'll tell you, they got this one guard named Montero, and they need to cut that kid. He was missing wide open three pointers. But I noticed I've watched all five summer league games of the Knicks, and he missed a bunch of three pointers in every game, like wide open. And I'm like, man, you know, good rotation, good ball movement. They kick it to him, he's wide open for the jump shot, and he misses it. And I'm like, they didn't even cut that kid.
Now, was he drafted or was he just an overseas player?
He was not drafted. He was an undrafted free agent that we signed.
Summer league has a lot of them kind of guys.
That's
summer
right.
League, where it's like they're playing high level overseas or somewhat high level. Usually a high level to get on the team, you got to be high level overseas guy or a local guy that can really ball, like, you know, a street,
right,
you know,
right.
Like at the Rucker, you're a known baller, Drew League type
right,
player.
Right,
but
right.
The thing about it, that kid right there, he's probably going back overseas. He just missed his opportunity.
Yeah, he definitely missed that because he's been clanking it for all five games. And if I were him, I'll be honest, I'm sure the coach was told, keep him in the rotation so we can finish evaluating him. Because I'll be honest, if I was a coach of the Knicks summer league team, I'd have sat him down. He wouldn't have left the bench for the rest of the game, and I'd have brought in somebody else to take those jump shots. Because what happened is the Knicks was in the game defensively, but they went cold offensively. And when they heated up and Portland called a timeout, Portland came out, they regrouped, and they shut it down. And that pretty much locked the game away.
When you talk about coaching, let me give you a scenario. I don't know who the coach was for the summer league team, but obviously he was an assistant coach for the Knicks, and it was giving him a crack to kind of like evaluate his coaching. Now, do you think that if a guy can get the Knicks to the summer league, can they really say, get Thibodeau out of here, get Tibbs out of here? We're going young. Let's go with this young coach to see if he can do the same thing with the vets. What say you?
Thank you for bringing that up, because Tom Thibodeau they wanted to fire him last year. There was a lot of people in the organization that wanted to fire him at the All-Star break, and it was the general manager who said, no, I know you guys want to get rid of him, but I'm not going to get rid of him. There was reports that there were a lot of meetings, and the only person that kept saving him was this one guy. They kept saying, nope, I'm not letting him go. But everyone else wanted him gone because he wasn't playing the kids. And so the management helped them out this year by getting rid of all the veterans. I mean, they've already said they want to trade Derrick Rose. And so what you're saying is you want to play that youth, that young lineup, and see what happens. But again, Tom Thibodeau's problem is his rotation. He doesn't make adjustments. So to be quite honest, I agree with you. I think that he is going to get the chopping block. If the Knicks aren't balling in the first half, I don't see him making it past the All-Star break. You know, because if you figure they spent 120-some-odd million for Rick Brunson's kid, and they brought Rick Brunson on the staff, and who used to be a point guard for the Knicks and in Providence and all this kind of stuff up in New York, and you made all these changes that they're going to get rid of. Now, the comment about the assistant coach, I think it's true. I mean, assistant coach, it was an Asian guy, Dice Yakamoto or whatever. I think he's probably a candidate if they cut Tom Thibodeau to move up in the interim basis, right? Because you're going to want somebody to work with these young kids, and if he worked with them in summer league, and they trust him, and they used to taking his orders, I could see that going forward. So yeah, it does not shock. I think it's kind of I think in a lot of organizations they set it up that way. You know, not saying that Tom Thibodeau is a lame duck coach. I don't think he's that. But he's definitely gonna have to win this year. They're gonna have to be better, right? Like, you know, you get to a point where if it's not talent, it's coaching, right? So if you're coaching the kids great and they're falling short because of talent, that can be fixed. But if they're losing games because of coaching, yeah, that can be fixed too, right?
What do you expect from the Brooklyn Nets as far as they're saying on the monitor that the asking price for KD is too high. Teams are saying they want KD, but they're not going to pay the astronomical price that the Nets are asking for him. I mean, is the price, is his talent, when you compare it to age versus talent and the asking price versus talent and age, when you factor all three things in, are the Nets being, what would I say, are they being unreasonable to all the rest of the teams in the league and holding up all this free agency stuff going on in the summertime? What say you?
I do. I'll tell you, to be quite honest, I don't see Brooklyn Nets going higher than number seven in the playoff seeds, and I'm going to tell you why. It's not because of talent, because they got a talented team. They getting Joe Harris back, the white cat to shoot all them jump shots. I mean, he's coming back. Like, they got a team. The problem is attitudes, right? Attitudes. They're not working together as a team. Remember Kyrie Irving? I don't know if you saw it, but Kyrie Irving went to the coach. Old boy used to be the point guard of Phoenix Suns, right? He had a party at his house, and he invited the team. And so Kyrie showed up and saw his MVP trophies. Because remember, the point guard for the Nets, his name escapes me, but he was the point, the head coach of the Nets was the point guard for Phoenix when they had Amari Stoudemire, right? And remember, he won the two MVPs that year, right? He won MVP twice. Mm-hmm. And so Kyrie was at his house and said, "Hey, man, how does it feel to have Kobe's MVP trophies?" Right?
Yeah.
That's his name. Steve Nash won two MVPs in the league, right? And so when Kyrie went to his house, so Kyrie has Steve Nash's house for a team dinner at the coach's house, right? Supposedly the head coach that both you and KD said they wanted, right, which is why the ownership went out and got a guy that never coached on any level ever, right? Never was an assistant coach on any level, not even AAU ball, not his kids' middle school team. He never coached ever, right? And you hired a head coach off the street who never coached ever, and you go to his house and you see his MVP trophies. Yes, Steve Nash. And you go to Steve Nash's house and you look at his MVP trophies and say, how does it feel to have Kobe's trophies? That's what Kyrie tells. So you got that dynamic going on. You got the dynamic between KD and Kyrie. Because remember, KD asked for a trade within 48 hours after Kyrie opted in to his extension. So now they're not on the same team anymore. Right, I mean, they're on the same team physically, but they're not on the same team, mentally, right? So you got all of that, and Kyrie famous for not playing. He's famous for not playing. So I see the seventh seed for them. It's not a play-in. If not the play-in, they might have to be the number eight or nine, the 10 play-in team to get in because with the attitudes in that locker room, right?
But the thing I like about Kyrie Irving, the thing I like about him, and we were just speaking about this earlier, Kyrie Irving is not like a lot of these guys that just want to take the ball to the hole. That ain't what he do. He can do it if he want to do it. He's a pure shooter, though. That's what I like about him. He actually can shoot a jump shot. He actually can shoot.
He can.
And I'm talking about when he put it up, it can actually go in the hole. It's not clanking all around. It goes in the hole. That's what I like about him. The guy can actually shoot. I don't like his arrogance, but as far as a player, that's why people want to play with him because he actually can put the ball in the hole.
Now, I agree with you there. He can physically play. And it actually is one reason why I don't like the guy. Is because he only played 11 games at Duke. Remember, he got hurt in college. He only played 11 games his freshman year at Duke, and Cleveland still drafted him number one. And what killed me with that whole deal was, as I was like, if I was a point guard in college, I would be offended that I played all year and this dude played 11 games and you pick him over me? Man, if the whole of my game as a college point guard was not being able to shoot a jumper, I would be in the gym like Kobe. Anybody that was in Kyrie's draft class, I would be offended. I'd be offended. Think about all the kids mm-hmm. that play all season. And college basketball, it's a 30-game regular season, right? And then you start talking about your conference tournament, right? Your conference tournaments, and if you're lucky, you get to the NCAA tournament, and you're talking about possibly four games there, right? Possibly, right? We're one day off and travel and all that. And, yep. you know, this kid play 11 games, and he gets drafted number one by Cleveland. I'd be offended. Yeah. You know. So you're right. His talent is there. His talent's there. But I would have been offended. And I promise you, I'd be working on my game. A lot of these guys got their money, and because NBA guaranteed contracts, so they got their money now. They don't care. They got the bag. You know, the young folks, they got their bag, so now they don't care. But me, it's pride for me. I ain't even going to lie to you, right? And you ain't going to play 11 games and get picked over me. But he did. Kyrie got drafted number one overall.
Well, let me segue here real quick while I still got you on the line. For all you just tuning in to the show, if you're out there listening, this is Stogies and Beer broadcasting live on WBEST, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. I got my man, DC, a regular contributor to the show, just talking a little bit of sports, just bantering back and forth on all things football, basketball, baseball. Right now, we've been talking a lot about some NBA stuff. But let's segue over to some Major League Baseball stuff. And yesterday was an all-star game. I didn't get to see who that San Diego Padres picked up. I do remember the Toronto Blue Jays picked up a left-handed pitcher out of high school. That's what I love about baseball. You can get drafted out of high school. I love that concept. Who did the Orioles pick up? How did y'all update y'all roster on yesterday?
So, first of all, I am so happy that you're talking about the MLB draft. Because, and I'm glad you asked me about my Orioles, because we had the number one pick in the Major League Baseball draft that started yesterday. So thank you for saying that.
I missed the beginning.
You're right.
I missed the beginning.
That's right. We had the number one pick overall, and we picked a young player. This kid's like a shortstop out of some high school in Oklahoma. And they say this kid is outstanding. No one's beating them up for grabbing him the number one overall pick, right? They say he's similar to Bobby Witt, who plays for the Kansas City Royals. So that's, you know, that's pretty solid. Bobby Witt's a good solid point, shortstop, clearly. When he's also the son of Matt Holliday, who used to play for the Orioles, as well as play in baseball, Matt Holliday. So he's a son of a player, and he played shortstop in high school. Now, his father mostly played Matt Holliday. I don't know if you remember. He played with Colorado. He played with the Yankees. You know, his father actually went to the All-Star, a 5 or 6-time All-Star, something like that, right? His father was an All-Star.
Speaking of what you're saying, they were saying that this was the only draft where they had four former players' sons got drafted in the first round.
Yeah. Because Andrew Jones' son got in there too, right? Andrew Jones' son was also drafted, if I'm not mistaken. Remember, Andrew Jones used to play, Dominican Cat used to play for the Atlanta Braves back in the day. And so now his son got drafted. So, yeah. But like I said, I tell you, you know, one thing about drafting a shortstop is they say that the shortstop and center fielder position on a baseball field is the most athletic position. And so to draft a shortstop speaks to his athleticism. You know he's got the genes to play the game. If his father was a multi-time all-star in baseball, and, of course, you know that means he was coached well. It also says that it's not too big for him. You know, a lot of players getting in the major leagues or getting into double-A, single-A ball and all that, you know, it can be too big for them. But this kid being around baseball his whole life because his dad was a pro, right? So, you know, going to the stadium and playing on the pristine grass field, that's not going to be too big for him. The other thing is, you know, a lot of you might say, yeah, but why pick a kid out of high school? Why not pick a kid out of college? You know, Derek Jeter came out of high school. He was drafted out of high school by the Yankees. And you could argue Derek Jeter is arguably one of the best players ever play, complete player, right?
It's all about upside. It's all about that upside. I mean, you took a kid out of college. That's that many more years. That's what another. Not out of college, out of high school. That kid, you got the 4 years that he's been in college. You got him actually in your farm system. But the question is, how long?
Right.
Like for your guy, the first round pick. He's the first round pick. So how long are they going to leave him in the farm system before they bring him up to the big show?
You know what? I'm glad you asked that. What I see personally is he'll start off in single A. He'll do a short stint there. Then they'll move him to double A, which is in Bowie. Our single A team is in Frederick, Maryland, which is out west towards the mountains of Maryland. And then I see him move him to Bowie, which is just north of D.C. Bowie is just north of D.C., Washington, D.C. So I can see him going to Bowie. I see him doing half a season at Frederick, and then I see him moving to Bowie, double-A ball. And he will probably do 1.5 seasons at double-A ball, and then I could see him coming up. So with that being said, I could see him in theory at best being a September call-up in the 2024 season, right, at best, right? If not, I see him in the 2025 season coming up, which goes right along with what you just said about 4 years, right? Because if he had went to college for 4 years and got drafted as a senior and then hit the farm system, it'd be a different story. But you're right. This kid could be 21 and be in the pros, right?
You know,
he really could. So I see that as being a plausible scenario. And, you know, to be quite honest, I think he's going to be a good pick, right? So yeah, I thought the Orioles did great with their pick. I'll tell you something else about Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball has been taken in the chin for their draft. You know, the NFL by far has the best draft, right? The NFL by far has the best draft, and yeah, I know football is one of your favorite sports outside of boxing. The NFL by far has the best draft, right? They do the first round picks on Thursday. They give you some players on Friday, and then they finish you out on that Saturday, right? They already know that come Sunday, people are not watching the draft no more. That's why they wrap it up that Saturday, right? I mean, you know, the NFL makes money off of their draft, and NBA too. It's baseball that for years wasn't making any money off the draft, and now they're trying to retool their sport to get people to watch the draft. But they got a long way to go.
They've done a good job yesterday because I actually was like, oh, they kind of like trying to do this like NFL is like the same style. I said, outside.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said. The Major League Baseball is definitely trying to tighten up their draft because they realize the draft itself is a moneymaker. I mean, let's be honest.
Right.
People are buying draft hats and draft T-shirts, and I personally do draft parties. I do NBA and NFL draft parties. I do the first round for the NFL that Thursday night, and for the NBA, I do a draft party to which you've been to, so you know. I do draft parties because who gets picked is a big deal, right? I mean, we all know going back to football, I mean, Cincinnati drafted the quarterback, Joe Burrow, your favorite quarterback of all times. And
since you do the draft party, while we're talking about it, since you do draft party, go ahead and tell everybody where you live at so next year they can go come to your house and everything and bring stogies and beer and watch it. Just go ahead and tell everybody where you live at.
Right. Well, I live in Maryland. I live in Maryland. But yeah, but like I said, the draft party, you know, is a big deal, right? I mean, again, Cincinnati signed Joe Burrow, and that one player changed the entire franchise, right? They went from zero to hero in literally two seasons. Justin Herbert, when he got signed by the Chargers, I mean, they look like they don't miss Phillip Rivers now, right? San Diego don't even think about Phillip Rivers no more. Right, they're like, who? Because Justin Herbert is
no more. They in L.A.
Yeah. At the SoFi Stadium. Yeah. Which I heard.
But let me ask you this.
Let me
ask you this, not to cut you off. I was looking out for this kid. And explain this to me because you know I don't know. In baseball, they didn't. Kumar Rocker from Vanderbilt. Rocker. He was awesome at Vanderbilt, won a national championship. I think he won the Super Regional Tournament Player of the Year or Player of the Tournament, whatever the case may be, whatever they call it. But he went to the Mets. They found out something was wrong with his arm, supposedly. You know, so he had to go down and pitch in some minor league club. And so he's down there. Then they draft him yesterday. Who drafted him yesterday? The Rangers drafted him yesterday with the third pick. I think in the first round. My question to you is, how do you get drafted twice in the Major League Baseball? What the hell is that all about?
Sometimes they assign you. Sometimes you can get drafted but not sign a contract.
Okay.
Right? Because if you think about back in the day, you know how when you play and outside, you know, tag, right? You just got in the line and somebody picked you, right? In theory, just being drafted, you just got picked. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to make the squad. You know, some people also don't sign you to guaranteed deals. They could assign them to a minor league-only deal, which would then could make him available. You know, his draft rights could still be available. So, yeah, it's possible. And I've seen it. A lot of times you see it in baseball, too. Where a kid will get drafted in high school, but he won't sign. He'll go to college. Let's say you go to Stanford or Georgia Tech, play baseball with them, and then two or three years appeal to the draft, you know, make yourself available to the draft, and then get drafted again, right? So sometimes that happens in baseball. So a team could waste a pick on a high school kid. He could turn him down, go to college, and then, you know, make himself available in the draft again later. And that happens a lot, too, you know.
What do you think Walker's going to do?
Well, I'll tell you this. You know, if there's issues regarding his health, that could have also made him available to be drafted again. And so with that being said, you know, I don't know. I think, you know, the question becomes, you know, how are you doing physically? Because he's clearly got the talent, you know. Clearly, he's got a good arm, but you know, people ain't gonna keep taking chances on you if you got some injuries. You know,
it's so political, man. Just so many bumps and so many bumps in the roads for these athletes. But real quick, man, because I'm gonna let you get up out of here. We're at the top of the hour. The time is 9:04 Pacific Coast time. I got my man DC on the line, regular contributor to the show. What do you think about the topic real quick? The topic that I'm talking about, travel budget and performance fees for rookie street free agents. The reason why I'm talking about this topic to all the athletes that are out there, regardless of what sport you're in, it translates, but I'm using football analogies. Based on the way I got the show set up, I'm telling guys, you have to plan to be a street free agent. When I say plan to be a street free agent, right now we're going into free agency in the summertime for indoor and arena league teams. We're going into free agency. And plus for like the XFL that's coming up in 2023, it's going to be free agency for these street free agents. Street free agents don't understand that we also have a free agency period. You know, you also have a free agency period that you need to be getting with somebody like myself that can lead you to the right tryouts. And from those tryouts, I can turn them into workouts. So you mean that if you're going to try out for somebody and I know the person that's running the event, I can say, hey, bump looking at those 100 guys that's going to be out there. I got three guys coming out there. Keep your eyes on my guys. We have a relationship. Make sure you look at my guys really heavy. And hear their names. They're going to come up to you and introduce themselves. They're going to give you my name as a reference. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, hey, man, I know who you are. You know, Romero already saw me your film and everything. I already got an idea who you are. Just work out. Contact me here and there doing the workout. I'll give you a little bit of feedback or whatever after the event. But I send my guys to a situation where I turn a tryout into a workout. But the thing that I'm saying is that a lot of free agents don't understand coming out of college, and we talked about this the other day. It's just a same topic in a different detail. But it's like you got to be able to have a budget to travel from California to Georgia sometimes, or California to Texas sometimes to do a workout. If you miss a workout in your local area, if it's local, cool. But sometimes you got to fly out to this stuff or drive to this stuff. And you have to have a budget. You got to have gas if you're driving. You got to have food while you're on the road. You got to have a hotel room to stay in. And then you got to be able to get back. Same thing with flights. Bus, train, however you get there, you got to have a budget to pay to get there. Plus, you got to pay the fee to perform at the event. A lot of these free agents don't understand that, hey, I got to have money to do all this stuff. But I just want to train. But who going to pay for your expenses? As a street free agent, meaning you're not attached to nothing. You got to be able to get to your workout. And it's the same thing in baseball. Baseball, there, you got to pay $100 and go out there and compete against 300 guys, you know, $300 or whatever, to compete against like 100 guys at a workout. Same thing in baseball. Same thing in basketball. As a free agent, you got to go to all these different workouts to try to get in. And a lot of them, you got to pay money. And the athletes just don't understand. So I'm talking about this thing today because I want guys to understand you got to maintain a job to be able to pay for this stuff. If you can't find a job, you got to get with somebody like I tell guys, you know, find jobs that you can transfer out somewhere else. So for me, I tell guys, get a security guard card. Because if you get a security guard card, you can go work at, let's say, Target, Walmart, or whatever, doing security, different places that do security or whatever. That's a transferable job. Any state, you may have to go to the next state and take a test for their particular license. But I also tell them you can go in Target and work in Target, JCPenney's, doing stocking and stuff like that, and you can transfer that job out state to state. So I try to educate people on the right type of jobs to get. And if you don't just want a job that you can clock in on, you can do an e-commerce job. Like, I don't know if your company is considered e-commerce or not, but talk a little bit about the opportunity for a guy that's looking for employment to be able to pay for his fees to go to these workouts today. How can you help in your company?
So we can help because if your license in your state, you're an independent contractor. It's essentially your own small business. You are an independent contractor, so you sign a 1099. You sign a W-9 tax form, and then any monies you earn issues you a 1099 from the company. So with that being said, we're saying that you make your own hours. The company provides you training, mentors to help you with doing what you need to do, but you make your own hours. So you can supplement your income while you're doing all of these draft camps and working out and going to functions. And we get paid 8 times a month, every Tuesday and Friday. So you got direct deposit. You can be on travel, running out patterns and have money hitting your account, right? So the flexibility is there for someone that's really trying to do well, right? And so I think in that case, it's well worth it to consider it. And so, you know, if any of your listeners are interested, I would like to have them reach out to you so that way you can forward them to me. I am on social media. I am on Instagram. I am on Facebook and all that. But I would like them to come through you to me so that I can give you appropriate credit for anyone that comes my way that heard you from your show or you work with them in some kind of way. Because I want you to be able to say I've helped countless people. I don't want anyone reaching out to me and I not know how they got me since I am on social media. So I want you to be able to get the credit because obviously you're really trying to help people live out their dreams. And you're trying to help them on the football field, and I try to help them in the business world, right? So that's why I think it's great.
Both go together.
That's right. I think it's great. You know.
Well, all right, man. I want to thank you for being on the show. I want to thank you for coming on to the show and everything, man. I'm going to get back off into my music mix here, but I thank you for coming on the show, sticking with us for about 45 minutes of your day. And we definitely love to have you back on anytime.
One thing really quickly. I think Albert Pujols is going to surprise everyone tonight at the Home Run Derby and make it to the finals. I think he's going to outdo Kyle Schwarber in the first round. I'm picking Albert Pujols in an upset to get to the finals of the Home Run Derby. So we'll see, right?
Is Aaron Judge in this thing?
He is. I don't believe he. I don't know. He's not in it. Aaron Judge is not in it. He's not one of the eight, surprisingly. So
they acting like the NBA. I'm not going to be in the slam dunk contest this year. They acting like the NBA now. I'm past all that in my time, I guess.
Right.
You know, all these stars, you know, the NBA, they don't want to do the slam dunk contest. In Major League Baseball, I don't want to do the home run derby. You know, I'm going to just kick back, you know. I don't know, man. You know, I think the stars should, you know, be available for all that type of stuff because, I mean, this is fan-driven. The fan want to see the sluggers. They want to see the biggest sluggers out there in that tournament, you know. They want to see the Vlad Guerreros and whatnot. You know, I think all those guys should obligate themselves to always be in that.
I agree.
Well,
all right,
man, we're going to get you up out of here. We're going to get you up out of here. Thank you for coming on to the show and everything. Again, everybody, if you want to follow DC and take advantage of his business opportunities, all you got to do is contact me. And what I'll do is get you in touch with him so he can go ahead on and help you get started up in his e-commerce business, which is a lot of life insurance type of stuff. And he can show you how to get your licensing in your state and then go on to work with him. And, you know, for you undrafted street free agents out there, it's an opportunity for you to make some money, make some good money, and then have, you know, be able to work out, make some money in your outside of working out and not having to punch in on the clock all the time, you know, where you don't have to physically go anywhere. You can go to the gym, do your workout, come home, take a break, start your e-commerce business up online, you know, virtual, Zoom, whatever the case may be, and start getting some clients in and changing some people's lives. So if you want to take advantage of a business e-commerce situation to help you with your travel budget and your performance fees for you rookie street free agents, definitely give me a call and I'll put you in touch with DC. We're going to go to some more music here. You know, I got my man Keith Clizart, CEO of Team Master Sound Design, a contributor to the show, provided some platinum beats. Keith Clizart is a platinum producer. He's done some platinum producing for Snoop Dogg, the Eastsiders. He also does video game production, you know, as far as like putting beats in the video games, like some of the ones you like, Grand Theft Auto and stuff like that. He makes beats for those people too. So, we're going to go off in the aftermath by Keith Clizart. Then we're going to hit Batman, Black Adam, and Doctor Strange, all by Keith Clizart. Just to keep Clizart mixed basically with Team Master Sound Design. Let's get into it. This is Stogies and Beer, WBESC, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California. I am your host, Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Let's get off into this music.
Yes, yes. Hello and good morning. Welcome back to Soakers and Beer. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Again, we are broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST, and this is Soakers and Beer. Soakers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to come on the online and talk about all things sports. It doesn't matter what sport it is. If we don't know about the sport, you can tell us about it. If you don't know about our sports we talk about, which is mainly football, but we also cover basketball and baseball, we'll educate you on that. We include all sports all the time. If you want to come on here and talk about dog racing, camel racing, mud wrestling, boxing, UFC, WWE, anything sports and entertainment that you want to come on here and banter and give your bold professional opinion about, you are welcome to come on this show and do so. Again, this is Stogies and Beer broadcasting live. WBEST, Chula Vista, California, WBEST. This is Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Our show today, for those of you just tuning in, is travel budget and performance fees for rookie street free agents. We're just basically talking about teaching rookie street free agents how to budget their finances for travel to workouts and to pay for trial fees. This episode will give insight on employment to secure finances to be a professional street free agent. So basically, if you want to be a part of the conversation, give us a call at 515-602-9687. Once again, 515-602-9687. Stogies and Beer is also a platform for producers of R&B and hip hop music, artists that want to expose their music projects to the masses. If you're an R&B artist or a hip-hop artist, you can come on the show, get a live interview, and put your music on there, as long as it's clean, radio edited. And at the same time, if you're a producer with some hot beats, we'll feature your beats on the show. If you're a business and you want advertisement for a product or tell everybody what you're doing, I don't care if you're doing writing a book, if you're selling hot dogs, if you got a beauty product, whatever you want to do, want to come on the show and expose your product to the masses, we love to have you on the show to tell us about it. It doesn't really have to be a sports-related product because we are also about business. We do sports, we do business, we do e-commerce, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball. We talk about craft beers, custom cigars, and, again, hip-hop and R&B. If you're an undrafted athlete, whatever sports you play, you want advice on how to continue your career after college, we're here for that. If you are already a pro developmental athlete in whatever league, whatever sport, you can come on the show and talk about what you need to do to get to the next step in your sport. For instance, right now we got the XFL 2023 coming up. I got some rookie free agents. They're trying to get off into that. I'm working on some things to get. I think I got about five to seven rookie free agents. We're trying to get them an opportunity to move up to the XFL 2023 draft pool so they can play in the league when the springtime comes back around. So with that being said, if you want to call in and talk about, as an athlete, call in and talk about travel budget and performance fees that helping you to be able to travel and move around to different workouts, give us a call. Again, the number to call in is 515-602-9687. If you want to talk about all kind of things sports related, like right now on the monitor, we got the Heat is working to put together a deal for Kevin Durant, and the Nets are lukewarm on the deal. So the Heat's in the Nets, so they're talking about getting Kevin Durant in a trade, but I think that the Nets are asking for too much money to get Kevin Durant. But at the same time, if you want to talk about those topics, anything that's coming across your monitor at home, sports-related news, give us a call again at 515-602-9687. And this is Stogies and Beer, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Is Romero Ferran, the Late Night Dog. Give me a call, and let's give our professional bold opinions on all things sports. We're going to go back off into some music. I'm going to hit my man, DJ Keith Chronic. DJ Keith Chronic is a producer, DJ in San Diego, California. He has a company called In the Trunk Clothing. In the Trunk Clothing is based, the concept is basically like he can pull up in his car, pop his trunk open. He got all kind of hats, shoes, T-shirts, all kind of fashion in his trunk for you to buy and wear. Quality, custom-made stuff, good T-shirts made out of quality product. And this is my man, DJ Keith Chronic, CEO of In the Trunk Clothing. So he
donated some beats to the show. This is Rebuild Tag by Keith Chronic, and we're also going to be having Tech by DJ Keith Chronic. So go ahead and kick back, light them up, pop your can, and sit back and vibe to this.
We'll be right back.
in and banter about all things sports, bring your bold opinions to the show. If you want to call in to the show, the guest call-in line is going to be 515-602-9687. Again, 515-602-9687 to call in to the show. Again, this is Stogies and Beer, and I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. The time on deck is 9:34 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, 9:34 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. I believe this is going to make it 12:34 on East Coast Time, 12:34 noon East Coast Time. And it is that time. Since it's 12:34 on East Coast Time, I'm going to go ahead and pop one with y'all. We're going to pop me a beer open real quick with you guys and get off into this thing some more. Yep, there was my can popping. Pop your cans and light them up. This is Stogies and Beer. That's what this show is all about, popping your cans and lighting it up, talking about all things sports. One thing come across my wire this morning was that Leonard Fournette is weighing 250 pounds in camp right now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Coaches are not happy. The coaches and the trainers are not happy. He came in a little heavy. You know, but that happens, you know. Young man out there living a good life. Got plenty of money, you know. He can eat what he want, when he want, you know, that type of thing. You know, they just got to work him into shape. He in camp. He where he's supposed to be at. He in camp. All they got to do is work him. Just work him out. Get him back in shape. You know, but everybody, you know, these coaches, they complaining, hey, he came in fat. He came in a little fat for us, you know. But, you know, he's a young man. You can lose weight like that when you're in your 20s. You can go up and down in weight. But once you hit 48 like me, I'll be 48 on Wednesday. Happy birthday, me. I can't lose weight like Leonard Fournette. You know, if I hit 260 pounds, God forbid, if I hit 260 pounds, I'm probably going to be at that 260 for a good minute. So I try not to get that heavy. Yeah, again, they're saying Leonard Fournette came into camp fat. We got the home run derby tonight. My man DC said that he think that Albert Pujols is going to take the whole thing. You know, let's hope you do. Vet, I like to see vets win. You know, I think Albert Pujols is about on his way out. He's been around for a good minute. I forgot to ask DC, was he one of the ones that they were saying that they was going to add to the All-Star lineup or whatever. Yeah, they were trying to add, baseball trying to add, like, two vets that has a great track record to the All-Star lineup as a sign of respect or something. We'll talk about that tomorrow when I get him back on the show and we talk about who wins the home run derby tonight, and as we get ready to go off into the Major League Baseball All-Star game up in Los Angeles, up the road from me. Unfortunately, I don't have a ticket to get in. I can't afford that ticket. But I have been a part of the All-Star event doing some security work when it was down here a few years ago, I think in 2014, somewhere up in there, 2014, 2015, when they had the All-Star game here in San Diego, California. Very exciting time. I enjoyed myself. I enjoyed the fans. I enjoyed looking at the merchandise. I enjoyed just the whole spirit of it inside the San Diego Convention Center. I mean, it was awesome. It was packed. I mean, there was so many fans in our gas lamp area ready for the All-Star game. So I really enjoyed myself there. I was able to see the Traveling Negro League Museum. Learned a lot about Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson, Jackie Robinson, of course. Just talking about all the greats, all the different Negro League teams that they had back then. And then talking about as it integrated into Major League Baseball. It just was a great time. If you have the opportunity to go to the Major League Baseball All-Star events, wherever they're having it at, like right now, in L.A., they got all kind of stuff up there, I'm quite sure, just like it was out here in San Diego. I recommend you try it. Recommend you go to it. It was amazing. At the end of the day, I want to get back up into my topic, because at the end of the day, I want my undrafted free agent athletes to take advantage of this educational platform on Stogies and Beer. This is for the professional armchair quarterback, but we have an educational component to this show for the undrafted street free agents, if you're already on a team. Well, but let me clarify what an undrafted free agent and a street free agent is, because I want to make sure my terminology is correct. When you're an undrafted free agent, that means you're part of the National Football League system, meaning you participated in pro day, junior day, pro day, which earns you a draft ranking. You was on the draft board. If you're on the draft board, you either get drafted or you go off into get invited to an NFL camp in free agency. You'll sign a free agent deal, and you go ahead on and go to camp. Meaning, like, they may give you a check for $5,000 and just say show up to camp. You know, they give you a ticket to come to camp, and then you just kind of, like, got to make your way. You're not really signing on the team for no money. You're more so just coming in there as a sparring partner. Like in boxing, you have sparring partners. You're coming in there as a camp body. You know, you're coming in there as a camp body, and you got to make your way. You got to show these guys you made a mistake not drafting me because I'm better than the guy you drafted. So that's what you're there to do is try to show them that, hey, I can stick on this 53-man roster and start your professional career at the highest level of football. That's an undrafted free agent. Now, a street free agent, I don't use the term undrafted with street free agents because you are not part of the NFL system. You're not part of the NFL system. Basically, what you are is a professional football player on the streets. Professional football player means you've been playing ball from 5 years old or so all the way up, all the way through high school, all the way through college, you know. But at least you've been playing since you was in high school and got an opportunity to go to college, and you played 4 years in college. You're at this point, you're a professional football player, and experience level varies back and forth because some people start playing when they was playing flag football as a little kid all the way up through college. Some people may have just started in high school. Some people may have just started in college. That's happened before too. You just walked on in college and were good enough to play. That has happened. So with that being said, you know, I'm just trying to explain the difference between a street free agent and an undrafted free agent. A street free agent is what I deal with, guys that did not get an opportunity to participate in the NFL system, meaning junior day, pro day, combine, and Senior Bowl, Reese's Senior Bowl, East-West Shrine Bowl invites, the NFL PA Bowl invites as well. So if you didn't take part of any of those three bowl games I just mentioned, again, the Reese's Senior Bowl, East-West Shrine Bowl, or the NFL Players Association Bowl, if you didn't take part in those three games or the Combine Pro Day, if you didn't take advantage of all this stuff that's about the NFL, then you are a street free agent, meaning that you played through college, but you are not recognized by the NFL or the CFL. So what you're going to do is, you're going to have to start playing at the XFL level, USFL level, FCF level, in IFL, Indoor Football League, NAL, National Arena League. You're going to play it in those leagues to attain film, and also outdoor semi-pro if you got a semi-pro team, outdoor 11-man, you know, you can get some film there just to show how you play outside. You know, that could be questionable to some scouts. They like to say, oh, some of those guys are older. You know, I ran into that also in the dealing with the ABA, American Basketball Association, the ABA. They came back, the ones with the red, white, and blue balls. They came back some years ago. They got teams all over the place, which is really like a rec league type of format, but it's professional basketball. You also have like the TBL, the basketball league. Not the TBT, the TBL, the Basketball League, which their champions are the Shreveport Mavericks, who was also in the ABA. The Shreveport Mavericks were champions in the ABA. Now they're champions of the TBL. I'm going to try to get them on the show one day here soon. Got to do some research to get a contact to see if I can invite them onto my show. But at the same time, the knock on a lot of these ABA teams, be it men or women's teams, is, oh, well, those players are older sometime, or they're not the best players. They're kind of like more at rec league level. But it's not the athlete's fault what level he's playing at. He's playing. She's playing. It doesn't matter. As long as they're getting film showing you what they themselves can do. And if they're at a lower level, that's fine. As long as they dominate at that level, and when they get the opportunity to move up, I feel like a player will dominate at whatever level he's at. If a player can dominate at one level, he should be able to dominate at the next level. And if he can't, at least he got his opportunity to prove that he can't, or that he can, or that she can, or that she can't. It just depends. So all these different pro developmental football leagues, even if you're doing outdoor 11-man semi-pro, which I have one or two guys that's either doing that or going to be doing that, and then you got now minor league football. That's a new league that's starting up, kind of like modeled after the I believe the Alliance of American Football, the AFA, the USFL, XFL, same situation, just a smaller league, just starting out. But they're going to play five games, so I got some rookies there that's going to be getting some experience at the outdoor level of pro developmental football at a decent level of play. So they'll be able to show what they can do outdoors. They already got games playing in the Arena League for the National Arena League, Carolina Cobras. My rookie, which is offensive lineman out of Virginia Lynchburg University, which is a NAIA program. They were a D2 at one time, but they're NAIA program. But they played a lot of D1 schools while he was there. So he got film against D1, you know, higher level FCS, D-level athletes. And he also done very well in the Arena League. He's going to dominate and do very well, I'm quite sure, in minor league football. So he's one of my guys, one of my rookies that's going to be playing 11-man outdoor ball real soon. I say all this stuff, again, to try to just educate guys on having a travel budget. You need to be working, having a job and all that stuff, maintaining the job. I recommend you to maintain a job at like a Walmart, Target, what I call national brands, national entry-level brand jobs, where if you're working in California, you can transfer to New York because you're working for Target. If it's a Target in California, it'll be a Target in New York. It'll be a Target in Texas. It'll be a Walmart in California. It'll be a Walmart in Texas. It'll be a Walmart in Alabama. Wherever the case, wherever you're at, these are what you call entry-level national brand jobs, which I recommend any athlete, any street free agent athlete, whatever sport, I recommend you have jobs like that, entry-level jobs that are national brands that you can always transfer to or leave a job and go and get that same job somewhere else. Most of you are college graduates already. If you're not a college graduate, you at least have about 2 years of college education up under you, because if you played ball for 4 years, you went to school for 4 years. So you at least have education at the associate level or a little bit more than that. So you can get those kind of entry-level jobs. And so, you know, and at the same time, be building your resume of employment that way. Because, I mean, I say entry-level jobs because you need to get those jobs, because I wouldn't want you to go out there and trying to get a job in your degree field. Like if you went to school for aerospace and you know, but you went to a small school but you majored in aerospace, right? I wouldn't want you to be like, okay, well, I got this great job paying me $80,000 a year, but you're still trying to get to the NFL. That's not going to work out, because if you're already making $80,000 or $100,000 a year in an aerospace field, and some of this is entry-level money, you're already making that kind of money as an entry-level guy. You're not going to be focused on football. It's not the way it goes. Like I had one guy. His father was a Foot Locker executive in the New York area, in the New York region. He's a Foot Locker executive. But he foregoed playing anything that had to do with pro developmental football. If he had an opportunity to work out, do a 3-day workout camp in New York with an Arena One team, the Albany Empire. But he had got off into this thing with his dad as a executive for Foot Locker. His father opened the door for him to just come in and be an executive with him. I don't know if it was entry level, but he gave his son a start, which is what he should do. So his son lost interest in worrying about playing football. He said, I got this great opportunity. My dad opened up for me to work with him at Foot Locker. So that's a no-brainer. When you're in situations like that, you can't focus on football. When you're in situations like getting great jobs right after college, you can't focus on football, because you're not going to go do the journey less traveled. You don't want to take that journey to professional football to get the big check, because you're already making decent money to secure your regular life expenses. So if you're already, you know, a 26-year-old guy, anywhere from 24 to 26, and you're already making $100,000 coming out of college, you know, or the last couple of years after college, you're not going to be trying to play no professional football. So this really don't apply to you. It's for those that are still trying to make their way to professional football at the highest level, meaning like the National Football League. If you're trying to get to the National Football League, you have to be doing the things that are necessary to get there, and that's meaning playing ball wherever you can play ball at, constantly playing ball, constantly building your resume, you know, constantly going wherever you got to go to get film, wherever that may be, overseas, Europe, Mexico, here in the States, traveling around, doing semi-pro ball in the summertime, doing arena ball in the springtime, combining that film, getting it to somebody like myself who can put it on people's desks to keep on playing at the next level. Or I can get it in people's hands that can get it to where I can get it to get you to the next level. But the first thing is that the athlete has to have the expenses, has to have his expenses covered, the finances to cover travel, cover meals, cover hotel stay, cover workout fees, cover the fee to get the best package after you do some of these workouts, to get your film, to get your scout report, your write-up, all kind of services. As a free agent, as a street free agent, you'll be paying for something at every level. Everything is going to have a price attached to it because you're using someone's service. It's not like, okay, well, I got this great agent, and this agent's going to keep dumping cash off into my career. Usually it doesn't work like that. As soon as your agent sees that you went undrafted, he's usually looking at the next class. He or she has moved on to the next class of kids that has a sure shot of the NFL. Because you got to understand, these agents, they're putting up money. It's an investment. This is an investment for these agents to put up anywhere from $7,000 to $30,000 for training expenses, housing, meals, and all this stuff while you might be trying to get ready for a pro day if a pro day is offered to you. So the point that I'm making is that, you know, you guys got to understand that you have to have a travel budget and performance fee budget as a rookie street free agent. You got to be able to pay for this stuff. Right now I got a situation with Pro Players Edge, my good friend, Coach John Jenkins. They got a workout on July 24th. That workout, I don't know, I think they say it's going to be in Ohio or something like that. So, I mean, for guys that missed the one that they just did in L.A., I can only tell you, you better get a budget together to get to Ohio. Tell him my name, and he'll get a good look at you and see if you can get an opportunity for Fan Control Football. Fan Control Football is like pretty much now the new Arena One because they have the big platform on TV and online. And, you know, a lot of guys got a lot of shine out of that league, including my players. I had three rookies there this year, and they did very well, and some are now in. One is in minor league football right now, and others are getting their stuff set up to get into the XFL free agent draft pool. All right, with that being said, it is 9:51 a.m. Pacific Coast time. This is pretty much the end of our show. We're going to go off into some more music and then go ahead and close the show out and set Black and Fade all on the show. But if you want to hit me up or DM me during this last 10 minutes, DM me on Twitter at Ferran Sports, at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D Sports. That's capital S-P-O-R-T-S at Ferran Sports altogether on Twitter. If you have any questions about anything that we talked about on the show today or you just want to give your opinion on anything sports related, definitely hit me up on the on Twitter. But we're going to go off into some more music and close the show out. This is Romero Ferran with Stogies and Beer broadcasting live, WBEST, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. And our topic for today was travel budget and performance fees for rookie street free agents. Today's episode will teach rookie street free agents how to budget their finances for travel, to workouts, and to pay for tryout fees. This episode will give insight on employment to secure finances to be a professional street free agent. All right, let's go off into some more music, and we'll come back in about 5 minutes or so and close the show out. But in the meantime, you can catch me on Twitter, at Ferran Sports on Twitter. And we're going Offensive Rebuild by DJ Keith Chronic, Rebuild.
Thank you.
Ferran. For those of you just tuning in, this is Stogies and Beer, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST on Blog Talk Radio, WBEST on Blog Talk. Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to come on and talk about sports and bring their bold opinions. We broadcast Mondays through Fridays, most of the time at 8 o'clock a.m. to 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific time, based on showtime booking. But we're broadcasting mostly Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time, most Mondays through Thursdays, again, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., and that's based on showtime availability on Blog Talk Radio. Today our topic was travel budget and performance fees for rookie street free agents. Hit me up on Twitter to further discuss at Ferran Sports on Twitter. This has been Stogies and Beer, and I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. And we're going to go ahead and close out the show with some more DJ Q Chronic, Tech by DJ Q Chronic.
Black, fade it off.